So you've been doing this series on living a good story and asking the question, is your life a good story? And we all like to think that our life is a good story, but we don't necessarily want to do what it is required to have a good story, because a good story requires conflict. No one gets excited about the story of someone who really wants a Volvo. And then they work really hard for the Volvo, and then they get the Volvo. Does that story sound like, I'm from Orange County, that sounds like a very familiar story, right? There is, except it's usually a Tesla, but there's this really thing that everybody wants, and yet we are so afraid to be bold about our stories, to think, could we move through our ambitions, but will it require conflict? There is a scripture that says, I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will face persecution, but take courage, for I have conquered the world. When we think about conflict, when we think about the things that we have to move toward in order to live this story, this great story, we have to remember conflict is important, but you already know the one who has overcome. You already know the end of the story. It's a great story. Many people asked me when Passion of the Christ came out, are you gonna watch it? And I was like, actually, I read the book, so I'm good. I'm good. I know it, right? I've already read that story. I know how it turns out. There is victory. But what is conflict? Well, there's several different things. Conflict, I think there's four ways of looking at conflict. I'm super Methodist giving you four things, by the way. It's three and one more. Four things. So the first one is I think there is conflict in us. It is me versus me. When we want to live into this new story, when God is calling us to something new, we kind of can be like Aaron of the Old Testament and go, but I'm not good enough. And so we sit in the conflict within us. I think there's also conflict, me with others. If I am bold enough to change and live into this thing that God wants of me, will others accept me? Will I be okay? Now, you may be okay with me as a female pastor standing up here, but when a packaged pastor looks like this, many people don't know exactly what to do. I've told this story a couple of times, and it's one of my favorite stories. I was flying late at night, and if you know me, I hate flying. Like, I'm a super nervous flyer. Don't sit near me. It's not going to be pleasant for either of us. And so I was flying. It was late at night, and there were a bunch of Marines that were headed, and they were leaving, and they were all nervous and scared. And this young guy sat beside me, and he asked the question that makes me nervous. What do you do? And I always, like, it's a tough, like, what do I do? And sometimes when I'm feeling like I don't really want to talk to anyone, I say, I sell insurance. Which is kind of true, so I don't feel really, it's fire insurance, according to some people's theology. I do sell, so I always, I finally said, well, I work for a church. And he looked around and stood up and said to all the Marines, don't worry, a nun is on the plane. Excuse me? None? I have to tell you, I don't know what about me says none. But people don't know what to do when you move towards that calling. So there's me versus me, there's me versus others, there's me versus environment. I'd really like to do this thing, but where I live, it doesn't work. Like, if you guys were like, I really want to be someone who never sees snow ever. I have decided that I am going to be an amazing golfer. This would be a difficult place to do that in. Am I right? Right? You have to have the right environment. So sometimes it's us against the environment. A good story often has the protagonist going against the environment, overcoming elements. And finally, a good story is the kind of story that is you versus society. Sometimes God calls us to make big and bold changes. Even for me as a female pastor, doing what God has given and gifted me for can cause society to go, but you can't do that. One time I was in a bar. Sometimes I go to bars. mostly to pray for you. I'm just kidding. But I was in a bar and this guy who had, he'd had a few, he was there and he asked me, so what do you do? And I just wasn't into him. So I told him and I said, I'm a pastor, because that makes them leave super fast. So I said, I'm a pastor. And he launched in to why that was not moral. And I thought, okay, Drunker McDrunkerson, I'm glad you want to express your beliefs about morality to me right now. It was the oddest feeling, but for him and the society he grew up in, that was uncomfortable. And so for him, my story rubbed his understanding of society. Friends, today is Palm Sunday. I want to suggest to you that Palm Sunday is when Jesus looked and thought, I am going to face all of those conflicts, every single one of those conflicts. So my question this morning is conflict bad? Yes. We have often been taught, especially as Americans, that we should not have to face any sort of conflict. A lot of marketing and media is all about how you can live a life free of conflict. Friends, this is what a life free of conflict looks like. If we didn't have to overcome things, whether it be like, have you ever seen anyone get slow Wi-Fi? People lose their religion over that, right? Like, slow, I can't believe. But we have this sense that we're not supposed to experience conflict. But if you are reading the scriptures, if you're hearing the story of Palm Sunday, we must face conflict. Now, this is a movie, obviously, but friends, are we that far off? Have you seen the Google glasses? Are people doing that here yet? Oh my goodness. I mean, the idea that we don't even have to pull out a phone anymore to ignore our friends and pretend we're being with them, right? Is conflict bad? Again, because we have this American understanding sometimes that we're never meant to experience pain, we miss sometimes the beauty of the story. I want to suggest that there are a lot of communities of faith out there that go from the celebration of Palm Sunday to the celebration of Easter. But we miss Holy Week. We miss the pain of Good Friday. We miss the fact that Christ experienced just the pain and anguish of being rejected, of hoping that this wouldn't have to be the story. Remember, I said that Christ went through every bit of the story. He faced his own fear of, is this really for me? By grabbing onto the grass in the garden and saying, is there any other way? Have we been there, church? Have we held on to the carpet and said, God, is there any other way? Can my story not have this part in it? Who here doesn't wish we had a giant eraser? Let's just forget that part of the story. But I'll say this. If your story is going to make a big impact, if your story is going to save others, if your story is going to bring hope to the world around you, then your story must go through conflict. This Easter, as we've been moving towards the resurrection, my church and I have been going through something called The Way, which is a book by Adam Hamilton, and we've been enjoying it as a community together. We have we talk about it every Sunday, and then we gather on Wednesdays to sort of debrief it. It was in this that we were talking about the idea that Christ had looked over the community before. It wasn't just Palm Sunday that he was up on a mountain and looked down at the people below. Remember, when he was tempted for 40 days, he looked over the community as he was being tempted to jump off. I remember as a child hearing that story and thinking that he was being tempted to show how cool and great he was, that he could jump off a building and do really well, right? This year, I heard the story differently. What if Jesus was standing on the ledge and the temptation wasn't to jump off and do well, but what if the temptation was to jump off and end it all? Because then I don't have to face conflict. Now that's a Jesus I can get behind. A Jesus that has thought, this conflict is too much. I can't do this. And yet, Jesus makes the choice. He makes the choice to keep going, to do his ministry, to know he will be rejected, to know that even though his story will bring healing, many won't get it until later. And then on Palm Sunday, he makes the choice to ride in, a community that thinks they know what they want for him. Any of you in that community? Ride in to the conflict. Ride in to the hosannas that are, do you know what hosanna actually means? Save us. Save us. But they don't even know what save us means. So this is the choice Christ must make. I think conflict is good because a ship in harbor is safe, but that is not what ships are for. We can choose to live the pacified life. We can do really well and just sort of stay here and do our church thing and love each other and have some donuts, and that'd be great, wouldn't it? We could just do that. It'd be great for me. I'm gluten intolerant, so eventually I'd look really great if I just kept eating the gluten. It'd just be a hive mess. But we want to do that sometimes, don't we? Just gather and not go through the conflict. Friends, your life wasn't meant to be easy. It was meant to be meaningful. There have been so many times when I have looked over my congregation and I've seen the cute families and I've thought, what would it be like to just go to church? Like, this is what pastors think about for temptation. These are my fantasies, okay? What would it be like to just go to church? What if every Sunday, 9 people didn't tell me what was wrong with, like, the bathroom? What would that be like to just walk in and say hello to people and no one come up to me and be like, can we meet Wednesday? And then 9 people say, let's meet Thursday. And then, like, what would it be like to just be in church, conflict-free? Where the hardest decision I had to make that day was, what's lunch? What would that be like? But that is not God's story for me. God's story for me is that every week, whether I feel like it or not, there are a group of people who want to hear the story of God, who want to hear redemption, who need to hear what it means that resurrection happened every week. And whether I feel like it or not, that is my calling. I have to push into it, lean into it, whether people think that's what I'm supposed to do or not. Because my life, it was never meant to be easy. I think the problem is when we sell the American story, when we sell the Western story, we've got a couple Canadians in the room, by the way, I'm one of them, but I just outed us a little bit there, I know. When we hear our story, we're told that once we meet resistance, that maybe we're headed in the wrong direction. I'd love to tell you that couples didn't come in my office and say, was it ever meant to be this hard? Wasn't it meant to be easier? And they kind of go through their first year, not that you guys will, because you guys are great. It's not gonna happen to you. They go through their first year and say, like, I didn't know that he did this. And if I knew that he had really underwear on the floor, no one told me that was part of the deal. I mean, little things, big things. But the beauty of marriage is that it was never meant to be easy. It was meant to be meaningful. The beauty of life is when you push into those hard places, the greatest meaning comes out of it. Am I right? If you think about the achievements, it took sacrifice, it took work, and it took those moments where you're standing on the ledge and you're saying, I don't want to do this anymore. And then you step back and you say, but I'm gonna. That's what community is about. Those days when you say, I'm done, and your friends say, okay, you're not. Those are the friends that we need. That's the community we need. Why we come up with a life motto or a subplot is that we forget, don't we? We forget, and we need people who are going to lean into us and remind us. Friends, that is a healthy, I asked a doctor, by the way. That's a healthy echocardiogram, okay? What I want us to notice is that a heart beats up and down, up and down, up and down. That's the rhythm of life. The rhythm of life is up and down. The rhythm of life is not a flat line. Did you know that? Hopefully. I mean, you've all seen the shows, right? I was recently visiting a lady from my church who was having an issue with her heart and her monitor broke. So as she's talking to me, she flatlines. And she looks at me and goes, well, that can't be good. And I was like, you're dead. She's like, I knew you'd be there. We just had this like great conversation. Life, the rhythm, how God gave us life. There was a rhythm of up. There's a rhythm of down. Jesus knows this. The up of Palm Sunday soon, soon turns into the down of Good Friday. But there's the up of resurrection. If we lean into the conflict, Jesus could have been like, I'm taking these donkeys and I'm leaving. I mean, he had options. The crowds that went ahead of him and that were followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. There it is, the up. But this is the week of Paseo, Passion Week. Do you know Paseo means suffering? Christ is entering in to the week of suffering. Friends, I want to give you this encouragement. If you are moving into a better story, you're going to meet resistance and it's not going to be fun. But you will also reach resurrection. Your story is not done. The end is never the end with Jesus. That's the thing that keeps me coming back. It's never the end. Paseo will lead to resurrection. In our own lives, whatever it is, however you're writing the story. Verse 10, the crowds ask the question, who is this? Now in Southern California, it's like, who is this? Who are you, right? The question that all of us have been asking the last couple of weeks, and I'm in the process of storyline, so I love that you guys are doing this, but the question that comes up and that we need to work on is, who is this? When I look in the mirror, who is this? When I pray to God, who am I to you? Who is this? Friends, that story, this who is this question, everyone around you is asking that about you. And you have to be comfortable with knowing that answer so that even when the crowds yell, you're amazing, look at you, you still remember, I am a child of God. Or when the crowds look at you and say, who are you? You have to stand and go, I am a child of God. If you pay attention at all to what happens to those who become famous, who live these lives that we think have no conflict, there is a problem when they start saying, who am I? Oh, I'm good. I am awesome. And then they get people around them who say, oh, you are good. Justin Bieber, you are the man. I shouldn't pick on the Biebs, should I? He's Canadian, I'm Canadian, we can do it. But what happens is when we are told that we are God's, when all conflict is taken away from us, when we never have to experience the hard stuff, slowly we begin to think that that is the rhythm of life, and we begin to flatline, and then sometimes we begin to plummet. My story has been one of incredible ups and excitements and great times. And my story has been one of the lowest of the low. Moments when I'm gripping the carpet and saying, anyone else, God? Anyone else? Does it have to be this way? But I believe that as God writes my story, the only time my story starts to get bad is when I like ask for the pen back. Like, actually, I'd like to write that. Thanks. That'd be great. Ryan Gosling. No. I'm really not stalking him. It's just kind of a joke. But he is a very attractive man. And if you have his number, I'm just kidding. Hi, Ryan. There are all these things that in my life that if I'm not willing to press into the hardness of it, I never get to experience the resurrection of it. Friends, I don't know what your story is. I don't even know what conflicts you're going to come, but they're going to come. And we do much better when we're aware that just because they come, it doesn't mean we're moving in the wrong direction. That's the story and the hope of Palm Sunday. They didn't know that they got it wrong about how Jesus was going to save the world, but they didn't get it wrong that Jesus was going to save the world. We have to be so clear about what our subplot is, what our little piece of the story is, that no matter what comes at us, we just keep plugging away. We keep moving in the direction of our story so that at the end of it, when things really do flatline, we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I get excited about the fact that I now have a group of friends that I can pray for, that they will experience conflict, but they will experience it in community. This week, take some time. Take some time to sit with Holy Week. Take some time to sit with how hard it was and how hard it is to just be human, and get ready for an exciting Easter. Life was never meant to be easy, but it was meant to be meaningful.